This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by KamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer. You know that we have thieves everywhere, in our relationship, at work, any place we go. We are subject to being zapped for our emotional energy, and I like to add mental energy as well. And we will get into this tonight. Unlocking your inner self, getting rid of energy thieves, and experiencing life's various forms of intimacy is the topic. My guests are Dr. Chris Gilbert, MD, PhD, and author. And good evening, Dr. Gilbert. How are you?
Good evening, Marietta. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Okay, I'm fine, thank you. Always a true pleasure having you here on with us. Julie Winter, psychotherapist, astrologer, a channel, author, I will introduce and bring into the conversation around 7:41 tonight. So we have a full program here, important information to share, and let's get started, Mr. Rich. Well, you're tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta, and in our first segment, getting rid of energy thieves, emotional energy thieves. And we all know about thieves. They steal anything and everything, your identity, your wallet, cars, bikes, even toilet seats. So, but how much do we know about emotional and mental energy thieves? We will tell you about that tonight. I'd like to get started with Dr. Chris, and I'd like to ask you what your experience has been with emotional thieves.
Well, my experience has been that patients would come to see me completely depressed, completely wiped out, and getting sick often because they were dealing with energy thieves. So energy thieves were in their lives people that were very negative, that were criticizing others all the time, people that were very needy, that needed a lot of their time, emotional energy, and people that were putting them down, or also people that were on drugs or drug addicts or alcohol addicts. And no amount that they would give the people that needed them was ever enough. And they were, but they were not aware that that's the reason why they were sick. They were not aware that those people were stealing energy from them. So I had to make them realize that when they were out of the sight of those people, they were feeling so much better. And when they were with those people, with those energy thieves, it was like a heavy black cloud on them, on their back. They didn't know that, but they knew that when they were out of that people's energy, that the cloud would lift and it would suddenly feel better. it's very important for health to be surrounded by other people than energy thieves.
Yeah, it's amazing because what they're seeking, these energy thieves, they're seeking your fuel. Your fuel, that's what they're seeking. So this takes place any place. At work, it could be your boss, it could be your coworker, a team member. So energy thieves can also be very likable, certainly talented, and even have attractive personality traits. So I like to refer to emotional vampires. Psychologist Albert Bernstein sums it up in this way. You like them, you trust them, you expect more from them than you do from other people. You expect more and you get less, and at the end you get taken. And how true that is. Because I believe, Dr. Chris, we all have somebody in our life we can relate to here with this energy theft, you know?
Yeah, and the problem is when it's a friend, you can tell your friend you don't want to see this friend again. But when it's at work, you cannot tell your boss that you cannot see your boss again. Or when it's a family person, then you cannot tell. If it's your daughter, you cannot tell your daughter, oh my God, I feel so bad. I'm going to be so depressed when I'm with you. You cannot do that. So what do you do? How do you deal with that problem? I had a case where the parents had that problem with their daughter, who was really an energy thief at the age of 30, and the mother got cancer and died actually from cancer, and the dad got cancer too. And I believe that those parents were so stressed out because of the problems with their daughter that their immune system just gave up and they got cancer. Now the dad is still alive, but that was a big conundrum for them.
Yeah. You know, I remember talking to a friend once, and we had a good conversation, upbeat, everything. And all of a sudden, you know, and I have to do this in a picture, you know what two airplanes, when a plane fuels another plane in midair, that pipe that goes to the other airplane, this is how I felt on the phone. That pipe came across in the phone and zapped me. It zapped my energy. That person said, I felt it. That second, I felt like totally depleted, and I even had problems breathing, not, you know, for a few seconds, but I did notice it. Oh, my God, I couldn't wait to get off the phone, you know, but really, you can feel that if you pay attention to it.
Yeah, me too. Also, me too. I had,
you too, right?
I had examples like this where I felt it. I could feel the energy just draining out of me. I could feel it just like you, yes.
And also, when I spoke, I said, I have to throw in this mental energy because it's so true. People, you take interest in other people's lives and their well-being, and they tell you stories. Okay. And you tell them, hey, let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. It gets done this way, and so forth. And they let you talk and let you talk, and they even let you do the work, you know. And then they still do something different. So it's like, I rather talk to the wall, to my wall here, my white walls, than to them. And they let you do it over and over again. They must get some kind of an enjoyment out of this. You know?
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know why. Why talk about something where you don't take action? Why? Because you want to, I don't understand this. I totally don't get it, Dr. Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there are some other people that have a lot of problems, but they see the positive side of everything. And there are a lot of people that have just very few problems, but they only see the negative side. And those are the energy thieves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I made about 6 to 8 pointers that I wrote down. They constantly criticize and seldom praise. Why is that, Dr. Chris?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, it's probably has got to do something with their childhood, how they were raised. They probably didn't get the right example of parents showing them how not to criticize and how to see the positive sides. There is so much baggage, I call it baggage, that people carry from their early years, and they don't realize it, and they don't know how to do anything better. They don't know.
They're just interested in their wants, not what you know, what you want. They're only interested in their own, you know, in the, what they want, to satisfy their own wants. I know a lot of people that don't give praise, and you know what my answer to that is? Just not giving other people praise when you have no accomplishments in your life. You will not praise other people because you don't let other people get ahead or next to you. That has been my experience over years, where you just want to be the front person, and everybody behind you. But if you're an accomplished person over the years, you gladly bring the other person to your left side or to your right side, no problem. And they start giving praises too, because they understand you, what you had to go through to be at the point where you're at, not the other ones. So I find that in with many people, they don't know how to praise. Oh, God forbid when you have some new project. You know me. I have new projects all the time. I'm excited about talking about my projects, you know, and working them and everything. And I enjoy a person I can relate that to, and they're happy for me. But many are not. So I know really who not to talk to. And yeah. If I don't get that, I don't even look for a reaction. You know, I just answer the question, that's it. And I can feel by their energy, they're not saying anything, but it's in the tone of what they're saying. So, but it doesn't bother me. It does not bother me because I have confidence. Yeah. And these people, these energy suckers, they don't have any confidence. They don't, not one ounce. Not 1 ounce. So, also, they don't take no for an answer. You know, it's like a parent telling a child no, and it's annoying, but the parents expect the behavior from the child. From children, you expect that behavior. But when you see that in adults, you know, that's very draining. So there are a lot of adults, you know, they push. That's why it's so important to have boundaries. You know, you do this to me twice, you're out the door. I don't care who you are. You know, somebody I know, somebody I know well, I treat the same way as a stranger. So I had to set boundaries. Once I learned about boundaries years ago, they're set. They are set. And anybody overstepping it, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. Yeah, I'm exactly the same way. But what I try to do, I try to understand where people come from. And some people really come from backgrounds where they have never been praised in their life when they were kids. Their parents were criticizing them all the time. And they had to just survive, and now they're doing the same thing to other people because they've never been praised. So I try to understand where they're coming from, and if they could be flexible in learning something new, learning how to start praising, start thinking about the other one, because that was the only way they could survive in their environment, was to be nasty to everybody else, and to criticize everybody else, because that's the only thing they knew how to do, and they knew how to survive. So it's true that I try to teach people how to praise, how to be positive, and you're right, but if I don't manage, and if I cannot get through to the people, then, yeah, I try not to interact with them anymore, just like you. That's very true.
I'm saving myself. I'm shielding my health, but also they're never satisfied. They're always hungry. Emotional thieves are always hungry all the time, and they always want something from you: more money, more authority, special treatments. new equipment, a greater title, nicer, who knows? They're always hungry and have an insatiable appetite, you know? Yeah. And I just want to bring that out in the open tonight. Also, I remember sitting in a doctor's office, you know, like you normally do. We happened to be in a doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you still had the waiting room, you know, you had 6, 8, 10 people in there. And you come in, you sit down, and you're in a good mood, at least you think you are, you know. And you're sitting, you're waiting, and all of a sudden you feel your mood change. And there's somebody in the room, and you can pick it too. Once you're aware of that your mood changed, you can pick that person in the room. And it's amazing how instantly transferable that energy is, the positive energy and the negative energy. I remember that. I never forget mm-hmm. that.
No, that's true.
Have you ever? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been in a room like this. And in this case, what I tried to do, I tried to interact with people. Like, has anybody seen anything? Or did you see what was on TV last night? and tried to get people. Yeah.
Yeah. So put time and energy into people and projects that enhance who and how you are. These include the important people in your life at work. Eat good food, leisure, and pleasure. So we are going for a quick minute break, and we'll be back with our next segment.
Griffin Health can help you stop joint pain. At Griffin Health, we're advancing healthcare by combining leading technology, a beautiful healing environment, and the region's top surgeons, like Dr. Philip Menotti, a leading joint replacement specialist.
The anterior approach I perform when I don't cut any muscles, you will get to that excellent result sooner and with less discomfort. When someone says, I went on a hike and I haven't done that in 10 years, it makes me feel good.
Visit griffinhealth.org/joint to learn more.
Go to WICC600.com, enter to win tickets to see Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons at Mohegan Sun Arena April 22nd. Tickets on sale Friday at Ticketmaster.com.
You are tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta. I am Marietta. In the house tonight is Dr. Chris Gilbert, MD, PhD, and author of the book, The Listening Cure, Healing Secrets of an Unconventional Doctor. Very exciting. Thank you, Dr. Chris, for being with us tonight. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you. Thank you, Marietta. Thank you for having me on again.
You're welcome. And having confidence issues, gain confidence, because you owe it to yourself. Call kmareducation.org, 203-505-3660 for consultation. And also, in need to reinvent yourself, well, don't know where and how to start, call us, kmareducation.org, at 203-505-3660 for consultation. And moving right along with our second segment, well, it's really unlocking, unleashing your inner self. And it's not easy to achieve success without having confidence. Confidence is the key, folks. We certainly have seen highly talented musicians, athletes, and business people because of their lack of confidence. They never landed that record deal, won a race, or were able to start the business they've been dreaming of for years. It is confidence. And folks, you got to do something about that. You know, this is not something you can buy in the store. And I know you all know that. I know it. But I just have to put it in those words. It cannot be purchased. And you can't buy confidence, real confidence, with fancy Hollywood clothing and look like, it doesn't work. So, what I don't understand, Dr. Chris, why do people allow being held hostage by their own fears? And I have to say, there is fear in every one of us. Nobody is exempt of that. I understand that. So, but in general, why do people allow themselves being captured by their own fears?
Well, I think that's, again, it's got roots that are really, really deep. We don't really know who we really are. I mean, seldom we know. I know who I am, but it took me a lot of time to get there. I know you do know who you are too. But a lot of people don't. And who are we really? What is our own rhythm of life? I'm going to start with that. Because when we were born, our parents told us when to sleep, when to eat, what kind of game to play, what kind of work to do. You know, we were put in a box, in a mold, and we didn't know any better. And then we got influenced by our partner in life. But did we ever figure out who we were by ourselves? And I think very few people do know who they are. And how do they achieve a balanced life that is their own? Everybody's different. So, you know, how many hours of sleep do you really need? At what time does your body like to go to bed? At what time does your body like to wake up? How many calories of food does your body really need every day? What percentage of time do you need to be by yourself? What percentage of time do you need to be with others? How much touch do you need? How much sex do you need? How much hugs do you need? What is your favorite hobby? What are you good at? Without saying, you know, what people told you what to be good at, what are you really good at? What is your passion in life? And what was your passion in life when you were a child? So you do need to know yourself. You do need to know the real you before it was locked up in a box in childhood, you know. And only when you know your real self, then you can start interacting with others on a real basis, and then you can find deep, real happiness and really good health. But also, what I tell to singers or to speakers, what is the message you want to tell? What is the deep, deep message? And if you log on that deep, deep message and you try to express it, to have other people understand it, whether it's through art, it could be drawing, painting, dancing, you will be successful, but you need to come from your heart, a deep, deep area of your heart. That's my message.
Right. Now, I remember when I was a little child, when I was a teenager, I compared myself with others constantly. I was a little chubby. I didn't have the blonde hair that I liked of my peer, you know, my girlfriends. They had blue eyes. I have green eyes. You constantly, as a child, compare yourself to others, which will really not help you, because you will stay stuck. But you don't know that as a child. You just wish you could be like them. Can you speak a little on that?
Yeah, and I think this is also what parents need to teach their children. No child is the same, and every child is wonderful by himself or by herself. And the parents need to compliment the kids and say, oh, yeah, you're not like everybody else, but you've got green eyes, and those eyes are beautiful. And maybe you're a little chubby, but it's okay. It's who you are, and that makes your beauty. Just the parents need to show the kids that they are beautiful in their unique way. And if parents start criticizing the kid, then it's over. I think it's a duty of parents to give kids confidence in who they are. And that's how they can find the kid's real passion. But it takes good parents to do that, and not parents that will put you down saying, oh, no, you eat too much, you don't look good, you know. It's no. You need supportive parents that will want to find out who you really are. I think every one of us has a unique passion and a unique gift in life that can help other people. And we need to discover that.
Absolutely. Also about about being perfect, because too many people deeply think how to approach things, and therefore they never do it. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? No, you do have to have the idea, a strategy behind it, yes, but just try it. So, okay, you fail, and you fail again and again. So something, you just have to really think why it didn't work. But you don't have to be perfect in order to try something. This really gets me mad too, Dr. Chris. You know?
Yeah.
Therefore, you stay stuck for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Not only that, but failing is part of success. The people that have succeeded wonderfully have always failed before. It's part of life. You need to take a few steps forward. And when you take a few steps forward, you will fail at the beginning, and then you will succeed because you will learn.
Absolutely. And I really have seen that with the global artist atelier that I put together, a group on Facebook about 3 weeks ago, and I found some wonderful artists, absolutely wonderful artists, and they're all at different levels. Now, I'm not an expert, so I can't, but I am a viewer of the pictures, and I have a feeling, a thought when I see the pictures. So, and my intuition, you know, I work with my intuition. And you can really tell somebody who, you know, what stages they're at. And also, like tonight, I just found a person, they just befriended, we're friends now. Her confidence really comes across in her paintings, in all of them. I looked at all of them before I got on air. The confidence, that's what is expressed in the picture. I feel it. Another painting, I'm featuring her in the March Healing Magazine. She's from Austria. When I look at one of her paintings, sensuality comes out. It's a picture of a woman walking on the road, you know, very beautiful. Sensuality. That's what I picked up. It's amazing what I pick up in various pictures. And for that, I don't need to be an expert on paintings. I'm the viewer. I have to have some thoughts and feelings on this. That's what it's all about. But you know what I also think? We must invest money in ourselves. I know you have a lot of money invested in yourself to get to the point where you're at today. Same here. And invest money in yourself to learn all of that. If you don't have confidence, if you're not sure, there's nothing wrong with that, but do something about it. Because at some point, it bites you in the butt. At some point, something happens where, you know, you walk a little ways on the path and you're being stopped. You can't go any further. Till you recognize you got to change something, you know? And it might be that job you really wanted, but you had that one little puzzle piece that didn't fit for the employer. And it was your confidence, because people feel when you have confidence. Confidence you cannot disguise. Never.
Right. Ever. And for that, it needs to come from the heart. If it comes from the heart, it will be successful because you will touch somebody else's heart. But you need to come from the heart, and people very seldom will fail when it comes from the heart. That's my experience. I mean, the same with movies. I just saw a beautiful movie because I'm a judge on the SAG Awards movies. The movie called Coda, CODA was a beautiful movie that's coming from the heart. But you feel it. It just touches you so deeply. And that is the path to success.
Right. Also, when I think about, when I talk about unleashing yourself, it's really, I'm asking you to start opening up. Picture a house full of darkness. You know, the rooms, all the curtains are drawn and the lights are all out. So, and there are certain situations in life that will force you to move closer to that front door or to that back door, that inner house of yours. You know, life situations will dictate to you. So what's important, silence is the key to listen to your feelings and thoughts. You need silence as well as action. Without one or the other, it's not going to work. And you know what, for me, it's joy. Joy is a door opener. And Dr. Chris, when I was a little girl, I was full of joy. I was such a joyful little girl. I was interested in my environment. I was asking questions like crazy. My father probably drove my father nuts, but I don't remember him getting tired of me asking questions. He always answered and was right there for me answering questions. You know, that's how I was learning. And at some point in my life, these roots, these joy roots were capped. They were just like a bonsai a tree. I remember that. And for a long time in my life, I was not in touch with that joy puzzle piece. But I have it back. I have it back, but it took years to restore that. That's actually very, very sad. But joy, when I love something, I can just move. I feel I can move mountains. And I do, because it's infectious. When I'm excited about a book, about a person, about a painting, it doesn't matter, or a piece of music or an idea, especially ideas. I'm an idea person and an implementer. So, and when I love the idea, oh, it's already done. Everybody out of my way, I need to do it. I just love it so much, you know, and I'm glad I have that joy back. And you know what I think it is? That happiness. Mm-hmm. Comes from that I am aligned with my passion. I do what I love doing and what I'm good at. That's mm-hmm. why I have that joy. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's yeah. actually very simple, but it was so hard over the years. You were on the path and you were doing all kinds of things until all of this happened, you know, and until you became aware of it. That was another process, you know. But this is it, folks. When you're aligned with your passion, you know, you become happy. Because they always say, what is happiness? Well, I am happy with that. I'm allowed to do what I'm doing. And I hope I, you know, can stay here for a long time, you know, to help others to find that passion. And it's a very tough job. It's a very tough job at times, because everybody has a different agenda. They don't want what I have to say, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but there are enough people out there. Dr. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, but I think for me, it's like a piano and the notes on the piano. Every note on the piano is beautiful. It's a beautiful sound. So for me, every note of emotion that we can have is beautiful, again, when it comes from the heart. So it could be a sadness. It could be anger. It could be a lot of different emotions. But to me, every single emotion is beautiful when it's expressed in the raw form. It could be expressed in a painting, it could be expressed in a song, but as long as, again, it comes from the heart, it could be excitement and joy, but it could be sadness and despair. They're all part of life, and we all have to deal at one point or another in our life, we have to deal with those emotions, and we just need to know how to express them in a beautiful way, and then let them go, and then go to the next step.
Absolutely. And, you know, start doing. You have to spend a little money. You know, nothing is for free in life. So, but that's the best thing, invest in yourself. So, and that's it. And, you know, I'm so excited. We have Julie Winter coming on. She's the author of Dancing Home, dancinghomebook.com. So she's going to come on in a couple of minutes. But you know what? We're going for just a quick music break, and then I'll have Julie Winter on. So stay tuned. What I see can make me stop and stare. But who am I to judge the color of your hair? Surely y'all are feeling much the same as I do. We got to keep this world together. Got to keep it moving straight. Love like we need forever. So the people can relate. If you're rolling to your left.
Alan Arkin, award-winning actor and director, says Julie Winter touches in Dancing Home on areas of the human experience that I have read nowhere else in any literature anywhere. Julie, well-known internationally as a brilliant psycho-spiritual therapist, teacher, writer, astrologer, channel, and has gifted us for many years with her talents and will take us on an intimate life journey. Welcome to Julie Winter's Theater.
Good evening, Julie Winter, and how are you tonight?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good, good, good. Nice to have you on the program, and I'm excited because you're going to talk a little bit about your Dancing Home book on the web, dancinghomebook.com. So, Julie, we're in your theater now.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, just talk. Yes.
And I'm going to read a selection from my book, the first chapter of my book, Born Again, and the book is Dancing Home.
Okay.
Serena senses her guardians around her as she waits. The entities that presided over her gestation and birth, their essences completely empty, infinitely present. Some of them were there even before her conception, teaching her, rocking her in the measure of their wisdom. The guardians, wise energies, loving configurations, not of this earth, but serving all beings on it. Seemingly differentiated, they are truly moving aspects of an eternal tapestry, vast compassion, woven into many realms, including the physical. They are present to guide, to protect when possible, and to offer unconditional love. Entities, spirits, guardians, power animals, all accepted and integrated in some cultures, but not in the one Serena now enters. In those cultures, reality is composed of multiple dimensions woven together, the earth realm only one of many. And at birth, Serena senses these acutely, will continue to experience them throughout her life, sometimes vibrantly, sometimes less so, sometimes barely a shiver of awareness, yet always as an integral part of her larger being. They assured her that she would be born, even as she felt her twisted position in Ruby's womb, even as she called for help with all her vibrating life force, and losing her awareness of them for a moment, knew human panic in her small, complete body. But they were there, offering comfort and reassurance. They stay with her through the long weeks of Ruby's illness, cradle her in the magnificent iridescence of their invisibility, shepherd her through winter days and bitter nights when the wind howls outside the tall brick hospital building and gulls shrill over the East River, riding on the frigid winds.
Now, Julie, I have a question. I know we're talking about Dancing Home, book.com. We're talking to Julie Winter. Julie is a psychotherapist. For people that just tuned in, she's also an astrologer, a channel. And the first 10 pages of your book, I know Ruby is pregnant. Serena is really guiding us through the book. And we're talking about the unborn fetus. So, and what I'm excited about, and I know our listeners are too, because we all have heard of entities, spirits, guardian angels, and power animals. Please talk about that. Please, what's happening around us, you know, with power animals and guardian angels? So I'm very excited about that too.
Okay. This is my understanding, and my understanding is always in process. I'm always learning. And the understanding that I give to Serena is my understanding, which is that there is a vast and eternal energy of love out of which all of life arises. The earth, the planets, other realms, everything is given life through this love. And aspects of the love individuate, let's call it that, and take on different roles. So the entities, the spirits, the guardian angels are part of that great love. The most common understanding in the Judeo-Christian culture is your guardian angel. But there are other ways of thinking about it. So you might ask, well, if there are protectors and entities who care for you, loving energies, loving configurations not of this earth, then why is there so much tragedy on the earth? This is an important distinction. Mm-hmm. The guardians or your guides are there to share wisdom with you, to show you how to put your feet on a path of compassion and love. But their work is not to change the conditions on the earth. Their work is to guide people so that the people who are on this earth can make wise and compassionate choices. Mm-hmm. We are on this earth in order to learn about choice. So if you've never experienced a guide or a protector or an angel, my suggestion to you is ask, because we all have them. Ask. It may come in a dream, may come through an image. But the guidance is always available, to everyone. Spirit is everywhere, evenly present.
Mm-hmm. Julie, what about power animals?
Power animals are mostly used in shamanism in Native American culture, in indigenous cultures, and they're extremely important. I have a power animal, even though I'm not part of that culture. And they are your guardians, and you go to them for wisdom. You ask their guidance. You communicate with them. They're very much part of your life in every aspect. And I think the power animal comes to you in different ways depending on what culture you're in. That is, you realize which animals are your power animals in somewhat different ways.
Mm-hmm. Julie, I want to go to my next question, because we're talking to Julie Winters, author of DancingHomeBook.com. We're talking about the first pages of her book in an unborn baby. And my question to you is, how do baby unborn baby sense good versus bad vibration of all the people around them? The fetus.
I think that on the unborn baby. How does the fetus? Yeah. Well, we know much more now in Western culture than we used to. In traditional Chinese medicine, they have known about the awareness of the unborn fetus for probably thousands of years. So the fetus, as it develops, is sensitive to energies, to the quality of energy in which it is developing. So if the environment, if the milieu in utero is one of happiness, you know, people sing to their babies, dance with their unborn babies, cherish their unborn babies, then that actually goes into the developmental pattern of the baby as the various physical aspects develop. If it's sadly an unhappy situation, if the baby isn't wanted or if the mother is in dire straits of some kind, I mean, think of all of the mothers who have babies during wartime or during times of terrible hardship, then the developing embryo senses it. I don't know how to explain it any other way.
Okay, no.
They sense it. And
go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, they sense it, and it affects the development of the baby as he or she comes into the state of being ready to be born. And adults sense it.
Yeah, and you know, I researched a little on that because it's been a long time for me since I read anything about babies. Mm-hmm. And one thing, can yelling hurt babies' ears in womb? That was the question. So increased noise levels can cause stress. This can cause changes in a pregnant woman's body that can affect her developing baby. So if the husband and wife yell at each other, and I remember growing up, my parents, that's what they were doing. I'm telling you, when I was born, when she gave birth, the first 2 years, I had big time earaches. They brought me to the ear doctor constantly, and I was under two. And I saw that doctor all the time, the ear doctor, and I think till maybe age four. And this is really the truth. Till about age four. And then occasionally I had little problems with my ear, but I grew out of it. But I know mom and dad, they did a lot of yelling. And even after that, when I was bigger, they always, they were yellers, Julie. They were yellers. But do you know, when I read this, because I wanted to put some questions together, I could ask you intelligently, I hope. I cried. I cried.
Oh, yes.
I really cried because a lot of people are not aware of this. What they're doing, what environment they're in, and yes, they're pregnant, and they just don't know what happens to the fetus. Because they say, oh, well, the baby isn't born, baby can't see us. We hear the baby kick, we feel the baby kick, that's it. And I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I cried, and it makes me emotional now.
Yes, when I can hear it.
And I just want to touch base on it because we have a couple of minutes left. And I'm happy to tell everybody you will be with us again next week to talk more about your book and other sections of the book. We're going to get a true education here. I'm so glad you're with us. And first of all, I also want to introduce Dr. Chris Gilbert to you, who is also in the chat room, Dr. Chris. I want you to meet Julie Winter.
Yes,
I didn't have a chance. Yeah. There have been a lot of unwanted pregnancies, ladies. And what effect does that have on the baby? in early, you know, before the baby's born. Dr. Chris, would you mind jumping in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important. There is, when the parent is stressed out, there is an increase of hormone, the stress hormone cortisol, and that's going through the blood, and that's going through the blood of the baby, and that's going to affect also the development of the baby. So everything that's happening outside is going to influence the mother, which is going to influence the baby. So it's so important that mothers realize that, are aware of that when they're pregnant.
Yes.
And Julie, one of the... Yeah, go ahead, yes. Julie.
Go ahead, I was going to say, one of the first things that I say to couples, adult couples who come for counseling, is, are you willing to make an agreement not to yell? Even as adults, when one adult yells at another, it shuts your nervous system down and you stop hearing. You can't communicate. Two people cannot communicate until they stop yelling. That's adults.
Yes. Now, what about when the woman is pregnant and her thoughts, she has anxiety, she has constant fear because maybe she's not married or maybe she's not sure that she will have a husband. You know, they're all different unwanted situations. Now, all of these thoughts that the woman thinks are transferred to the fetus?
Oh, yes. It's just as Dr. Chris said. The mother then releases stress hormones, and the stress hormones affect the baby. And I was just watching a wonderful, wonderful video of the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu in a long meeting that they had. And they were talking about joy, and they showed in the video an experiment scanning the brain of a monk who had meditated for many years and someone who was just chosen at random to see if their responses to conflict were different. And the monk had no response to one of the stimuli, and to the other had a response, and you could see the brain light up as it did with the person who was chosen at random. But the monk's brain then quieted down immediately. As soon as the stress was over, his brain was clear. The person chosen at random went on, his brain firing and firing and firing and pulling up those hormones. So stress absolutely affects us, and now we can see it because we can scan the brain.
Mm-hmm. And one more quick question, because we're almost out of time for the entire show. Can a baby not like his mother?
What a wonderful question. You mean in utero, can the baby not like his mother or her mother?
Well, that question did not come from me. I researched it, and that was the question. So it's normally babies develop a close attachment bond with their main caregiver, usually their parents, within the first month. So the baby, can they sense once they're born, can they sense, hey, I don't like my mother?
They can certainly sense my mother doesn't like me.
They do.
Yeah, my mother doesn't like me. Oh, absolutely. But human babies are absolutely completely dependent. So whether a baby, you know, I would say yes, that at some level, but I think it would come from the mother not liking them or rejecting them in some way. And then they would have a response to, yes, of course, because some babies won't nurse, they throw up. And it's emotional, it's not physical. So I would say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Julie Winter, thank you so much. DancingHomeBook.com. Dr. Chris, thank you so much for being on with us tonight. And Julie Winter will be with us again next week, Tuesday from 7 to 8. And Have a great week. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you, Julie Winter.
Oh, and thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Have a great week, too. Good night.
Thank you, Dr. Chris. Good night now.
Good night.
Thank you.